limited in how much help it can provide these industrial areas to effectively maintain them. The organization says the government needs to give it more authority to do so. Iran's industrial parks play a critical role in making the country independent by boosting production in a bid to nullify the U.S.-imposed sanctions on the economy. Summertime is usually the season where electricity consumption reaches its peak, but unfortunately that's also when most power cuts happen. So, Tehran province officials have now devised a solution to prevent blackouts in industrial parks. After a brainstorming session, provincial officials have decided to set up several solar power stations to provide a steady supply of electrical power during peak use periods. The power stations will generate up to 1,200 megawatts of electricity for the country's power grid. Plus, these stations will help supply electricity to 19 of the province's industrial parks, where some 6,000 businesses are operating. This solution comes after the Energy Ministry devised a plan to systematically cut off electricity supply to industrial parks during peak use. This program aimed to manage the capital's electricity supply and prevent blackouts for household consumers.
And our last news topic covers Iran's deepening ties with its neighbor, Turkmenistan. The two countries have recently inked a memorandum of understanding.
Under the deal, Iran's ISIPO has agreed to share experience and transfer knowledge related to developing industrial parks to the Turkmen side. These include design, engineering, and consultations for setting up industrial towns in special economic zones. Other topics in the MOU include bolstering entrepreneurship and developing small industries and tech parks. The two sides also signed several other cooperation documents during a visit of Turkmenistan's president to Iran.
That wraps up our program for today. On behalf of the entire team, thank you for tuning in.
Voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
in the limelight.
Six in 10 adults in the UK surveyed said they were planning on cutting spending in the holiday period by buying fewer and less expensive presents and eating out less. The Office for National Statistics said recently, household incomes are being hit by the biggest jump in prices in four decades. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. The website of RT wrote in this regard, energy bills, rent, and mortgage payments are the most commonly reported financial burdens in the UK. Consumers in the UK have slashed spending on Christmas gifts this year as household incomes across the country have suffered amid the biggest jump in prices in 40 years. Bloomberg reported recently, citing a survey published by the Office for National Statistics, ONS. 6 in 10 adults surveyed admitted they were planning to cut amount they spend during this festive season by buying fewer and less expensive presents. Meanwhile, British charities have reported booming sales as cash-strapped shoppers are looking for second-hand Christmas gifts. With disposable income hit by skyrocketing inflation, people are tightening their belts and expect to eat out and socialize less, the Public Opinion and Social Trends survey showed. Inflation in the UK reached 11.1% in October, more than five times the Bank of England's 2% target. About 18% of respondents told the ONS they had no savings to shield themselves from surging costs, and 7% reported they had missed a bill payment in the past month. Households were facing the highest financial pressure from energy bills, as well as mortgage and rent payments, the ONS said. Nearly half of UK adults reported they were hardly able to heat their homes, and three-quarters were alarmed about the cost of living. Bloomberg also reported British consumers have cut back on Christmas gift giving after the tightest cost of living squeeze in memory reduced disposable income. Official figures showed 6 in 10 adults in the UK surveyed said they were planning on cutting spending in the holiday period by buying fewer and less expensive presents and eating out less, the Office for National Statistics said recently. The Press United also wrote in this regard, consumers in the UK have slashed the spending on Christmas gifts this year as household incomes across the UK have suffered amid the biggest jump in prices in 40 years. Meanwhile, British charities have reported booming sales as cash-strapped shoppers are looking for second-hand Christmas gifts. With disposable income hit by skyrocketing inflation, people are tightening their belts and expect to eat out and socialize less. About 18% of respondents told ONS they had no savings to shield themselves from surging costs, and 7% reported they had missed a bill payment in the past month. Households were facing the highest financial pressure from energy bills, as well as mortgage and rent payments. Nearly half of UK adults reported they were hardly able to heat their homes, and three-quarters were alarmed about the cost of living. Also, Guardian reported Britain's recovery from the COVID-19 pandemic has been even weaker than originally believed and is the only member of the G7 group of leading industrial countries where output is still below its pre-crisis level. The Office for National Statistics said the UK economy contracted by 0.3% in the 3 months to September, compared with an original estimate of a 0.2% decline. The ONS also revised down growth in every quarter, stretching back to the third quarter of 2021. As a result, the UK's gross domestic product is now estimated to be 0.8% lower in the third quarter of 2022 than in the final 3 months of 2019, the period immediately before the start of the disruption caused by COVID. Previously, the ONS had estimated the UK was operating 0.4% below its pre-pandemic level, and according to the latest data, it is now the only G7 country that has yet to recover ground lost when the global economy was locked down in 2020. Of the other G7 members, GDP is 4.3% above levels in late 2019 in the US and higher by 2.7% in Canada, 1.8% in Italy, 1.1% in France, 0.9% in Japan, and 0.3% in Germany. Gabriella Dickens, UK analyst at Pantheon Macro, said the UK's underperformance largely reflected weakness in households' real spending, which was 3.2% lower in the third quarter of 2022 than in the final 3 months of 2019, compared with an average increase of 1.6% across the other G7 economies. Dickens said households' spending has been relatively subdued in Britain due to the comparatively muted recovery in employment, larger price increases, and the fact that households in Britain have been less willing to reduce their saving rate than those overseas.
The wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
Thousands of Moroccans have staged demonstrations across the North African country to reiterate their unwavering support for the Palestinian cause and voice outrage at the U.S.-sponsored normalization of diplomatic relations with Israel on its second anniversary. People from all strata of society heeded a call by the Moroccan Front in support of Palestine and against normalization, took part in nationwide rallies in almost 30 cities to show solidarity with Palestinians and censure Rabat's normalization of ties with the Tel Aviv regime. Protesters converged outside the Parliament of Morocco premises in the capital Rabat, where they chanted slogans in condemnation of the normalization and demanded the reversal of the agreement. The demonstrators waved national Palestinian flags and held up placards that read, "Normalization is treacherous and the struggle will carry on until the normalization is revoked" in Arabic. The participants also set fire to the Israeli flag in front of the legislature's building. The people of Morocco have repeatedly expressed their opposition to the agreement by holding demonstrations and protests. The Moroccan Front in support of Palestine and against normalization said normalization with the regime is passionately opposed by the whole country. On December 2020, Israel and Morocco announced the resumption of diplomatic relations after their suspension in 2000 following the outbreak of the Second Palestinian Intifada. The two agreed to normalize relations by signing a deal brokered by the U.S., making the North African country the fourth Arab state to strike such a deal with the regime. The others were the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, and Sudan. As part of the accord, Washington agreed to recognize Morocco's sovereignty over the Western Sahara region, which has been at the center of a dispute with neighboring Algeria. Algiers had condemned the U.S. decision, saying it had no legal effect because it contradicts UN resolutions, especially UN Security Council resolutions on Western Sahara. Morocco and Algeria have long been at odds over the disputed territory of Western Sahara, while Algiers-backed Polisario Front is seeking independence from Rabat's rule. Algeria cut diplomatic ties with Morocco in August 2021, citing hostile acts. Rabat controls over 80% of the territory and is pushing for autonomy under its sovereignty. The Polisario Front, however, wants a UN-sponsored referendum on self-determination. Morocco, like any other Arab country that has recognized Israel, insists it will still work for a two-state solution, but this time by engaging with Israel rather than boycotting it. Morocco clearly decided that developing its economic ties with Israel and winning U.S. recognition of its sovereignty in Western Sahara were too important to pass up. According to an opinion poll conducted by the Arab Barometer, 59% of Moroccans say they are hostile to normalization between Rabat and Tel Aviv. This shows a marked discrepancy between official authorities and Moroccan public opinion. The chasm was further exposed by the rise of several political parties that have accused the Moroccan state of betraying the Palestinian cause and collaborating with Israeli settlers. For example, the Justice and Development Party called for the closure of the Israeli liaison office during the bombing of Gaza last year. The Unified Socialist Party and the Socialist Democratic Vanguard Party showed their opposition to the rapprochement with Israel as well. They called it an illegitimate agreement. With all the opposition and outrage over inking the normalization agreement with Israel, why should Rabat do this? While the normalization was enacted in December 2020, bilateral relations between Morocco and Israel had never fully ceased in the past. In fact, in 2014, hundreds of diplomatic letters leaked by a Moroccan activist revealed that the two had been maintaining an ongoing political dialogue. Similarly, Israeli records reported $37 million US dollars in trade with Morocco in 2017, as well as signing of several trade and economic agreements. The diplomatic normalization was simply an opportunity for the kingdom to recognize and strengthen a cooperation that has always existed.
This Christmas is not a time for cheers and festivities for many in the U.S. A hunger crisis is affecting U.S. households. Food insecurity is already a critical problem affecting millions of Americans. One of the most typical factors affecting people suffering from food insecurity this time of the year are extreme winter conditions. But this year especially, many are suffering from hunger and high food prices due to unprecedented inflation that has gripped the U.S.
The gas, the food, everything, milk, egg, everything is is high now.
It is concerning, so I always shop online to make sure that I can find the best prices for groceries and for, like, gas as well.
Last year, more than 33 million Americans lived in food-insecure households, including 9 million children. The figure dropped in 2021 thanks to COVID relief programs. One also does not need to look any further than U.S.'s food assistance program called SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, to see the severity of the problem. The federal government increased SNAP by 12.5% this fall, adjusted to the rate of inflation. In the fiscal year 2021, SNAP served an average of 41.5 million people per month. The U.S. President Joe Biden may boast of a minor drop in inflation.
And yesterday, we got data that showed that manufacturing orders were up, but cost increases in supply chain items were beginning to ease. The week before that, we got data showing that price increase may be beginning to ease as well.
But the fact of the matter is that the U.S. population is suffering from poverty, unemployment, a lack of affordable housing, and lack of access to health care. This is on top of systemic racial inequities. All of these factors have driven food insecurity that affects around 10% of U.S. households. Many people in the UK are also struggling to make ends meet during Christmas time, especially when it comes to food. That is since the UK economy is suffering from negative economic growth that has led many to be food insecure. Driven mainly by soaring energy prices, UK inflation has been running high in 2022, reaching successive new records. In October, households paid 88.9% more on average for electricity, gas, and other fuels than a year ago. So it is natural then that there has been a multifold increase when it comes to people going to food banks. One sobering statistic is that there are now more food banks than McDonald's in the UK. Between April and September, more than 320,000 people in the UK walked into food banks of Trussell Trust, a leading charity fighting against hunger, for the first time, and 1.3 million emergency food parcels were provided across the country. Yet it appears that in the UK, things are a lot worse when it comes to energy bills, especially during the winter time. Families across the UK have to juggle household incomes and make a choice between staying warm or buying food.
So across the UK, we have what we call fuel poverty, which is if you have to spend 10% of your income to afford a decent level of heat and power, you're regarded as being in fuel poverty. September 2021, there are about 4 million households across the UK in fuel poverty.
And that is quite a startling fact, considering how the UK is part of the G7 group of countries. Total wages in the UK have also fallen by 3.9% annually in the quarter to October, accounting for inflation, making the cost of living crisis worse for the average Brit. The natural question is, how did things get down to this, not only for the UK or Europe, but for many other parts of the world, especially during Christmas? Putting COVID aside, the U.S.-backed Ukraine conflict is one major reason, driving up energy prices and hence inflation. Christmas is known to be a time of giving, yet major donations have been going to Ukraine instead of citizens of the donating countries. The Kiel Institute has tracked 93.8 billion euros from 40 countries. Out of that, 52.3 billion euros came from the United States, 29.2 billion euros from the European Union, and 12.3 billion euros from other countries, mostly the United Kingdom.
The salami tactic that Wang Yi is accusing the U.S. of using refers to a practice of using a series of small actions to achieve a much larger end goal that would otherwise be difficult to achieve using one large action. Yi's comments undermine the recent attempts by the leaders of the two biggest economies in the world to reconcile their differences when Joe Biden and Xi Jinping recently met. During Xi Jinping's first in-person meeting with the U.S. president since 2017, the issue of Taiwan was raised. China believes that the U.S. is slowly but surely trying to chip away at China's authority over Taiwan, the incredibly significant industrial island that China deems as its own territory. President Xi calls Taiwan its first red line that the U.S. would be wise not to cross. The intensity of the rhetoric used by both parties to describe the actions of the other party is also escalating. As Joe Biden objected to China's, quote, coercive and increasingly aggressive actions towards Taiwan, Wang Yi told Blinken that the U.S. shouldn't continue, quote, old routine of unilateral bullying. He also said that the U.S. should not be blinded by ideological prejudices and stop putting obstacles to bilateral relations. Prior to his phone call with Antony Blinken, Wang Yi had already met with the U.S. ambassador to China, Nicholas Burns. During that meeting, he noted that the U.S. and China cannot change each other, and the U.S. shouldn't think about thwarting China all the time. This kind of rhetoric is reflective of the frayed relationship between the two superpowers that are a result of U.S. crackdown on Chinese tech companies, human rights issues, and perhaps the most important of all, the issue of Taiwan, and the U.S. constantly undermining the One China policy. The U.S. has recently put major restrictions on some major Chinese tech firms, including Huawei and ZTE, to the point that their products, along with some other brands, can't even be exported to the U.S. The previous bans that were imposed on these companies during Donald Trump's presidency, when anti-China rhetoric began, were a lot less restrictive. On the topic of human rights, just in the wake of April's shooting incident in New York, the U.S. State Department released reports on human rights situation in other countries, including China, with a handful of accusations thrown in the mix. China rebutted Washington's claims against it by pointing out to its failures in upholding the very human rights they have always championed. The issue of Taiwan is a bit more complicated. Site of U.S. Department of State, you will find the following paragraph on the U.S.'s supposed official position towards China and Taiwan. The United States' approach to Taiwan has remained consistent across decades and administrations. The United States has a long-standing One China policy, which is guided by the Taiwan Relations Act, the three U.S.-China joint communique, and the Six Assurances. We oppose any unilateral changes to the status quo from either side. We do not support Taiwan independence, and we expect cross-strait differences to be resolved by peaceful means. While the document reads that the U.S. does not support Taiwan's independence, a July 2007 Congressional Research Service report confirms that U.S. policy does not, in fact, recognize China's sovereignty over Taiwan. The document further reads, consistent with the Taiwan Relations Act, the United States makes available defense articles and services as necessary to enable Taiwan to maintain a sufficient self-defense capability and maintain our capacity to resist any resort to force or other forms of coercion that would jeopardize security or the social or economic system of Taiwan. The Taiwan Relations Act was passed right around the time the U.S. recognized the People's Republic of China in 1979. Its intent was so that the U.S. can maintain commercial, cultural, and other relations with Taiwan through unofficial relations without government representation and without formal diplomatic ties. China has since viewed the TRA as, quote, an unwarranted intrusion by the United States into the internal affairs of China. As the U.S. continued to supply Taiwan with arms and more recently had official meetings with the leader of the island. And this is where Wang Yi's rhetoric towards Blinken starts to make sense. The U.S. has been playing fast and loose with China's sovereignty over Taiwan and the One China policy. China is on a short fuse, and it remains to be seen when their patience will run out.
An investigation has shed light on the complicity of social media giant Twitter in the propaganda of the U.S. military in the West Asia region. The investigation says Twitter helped the U.S. military amplify its propaganda campaigns in this region, allowing fake accounts to push pro-U.S. narratives. The probe has been carried out by a journalist and is based on internal documents released by Elon Musk, who took over as Twitter's CEO in October. Musk has released the documents as an effort to boost transparency about the social media platform's operations under the previous management. The investigation says Twitter secretly created a special whitelist exempting accounts run by U.S. Central Command or CENTCOM for spam and abuse flags. The move allowed those accounts greater visibility on the platform. It says Twitter quietly introduced the feature in 2017. The measure was introduced after U.S. military officials asked the company to improve the visibility of Arab-language accounts used to amplify certain messages. Those included promoting U.S. military narratives, anti-Iran messages, and support for the U.S. and Saudi-backed war in Yemen. According to the report, CENTCOM concealed its ownership of the accounts. In some cases, it used fake pictures and bios to give them the impression that they were run by civilians in the region. The social media giant tolerated the presence of the accounts on the platform until at least May 2022. Twitter has long pledged to shut down all state-backed disinformation and propaganda efforts. For example, in 2018, Twitter suspended accounts that were allegedly linked to Russia's propaganda efforts. But these rules and suspensions have not been applied to the American military efforts.
And the story also looks at the kind of hypocritical promises and pledges by Twitter. Twitter, since 2016, has promised to crack down on state-backed influence operations to shut down covert propaganda, and they brag all the time about shutting down Russian or Venezuelan or even Thai secret Twitter accounts that are run by the military.
Azerbaijan.
Yeah, Azeris are always doing this as well.
Yeah.
But really, the U.S. is doing this. And Twitter, even though they promised to shut down all state-backed influence operations, they've worked hand in glove with the U.S. military, giving them special privileges for their fake Twitter accounts, these fake personalities that kind of make organic-looking conversations in Yemen or Syria or Iraq.
The finding of this research appeared to corroborate a major report published in August by online security researchers affiliated with the Stanford Internet Observatory. That report claimed that thousands of accounts that they suspected to be part of a state-backed information operation. It said many of those accounts used photorealistic human faces generated by artificial intelligence and were connected with an online ecosystem that included fake news websites, meme accounts on Telegram and Facebook, and online personalities. They all echoed Pentagon messages and included anti-Iran messages. Some of them accused Iran of threatening Iraq's water security. Others promoted allegations that Iran was harvesting the organs of Afghan refugees. In the summer of 2020, officials from Facebook reportedly identified fake accounts attributed to CENTCOM's influence operation on its platform. Reports show in 2020, Facebook and Twitter executives were invited by the Pentagon's top attorneys to attend classified briefings in a sensitive, compartmented information facility. The result of that meeting was that many of the fake accounts remained active for at least another year. Some of the accounts on the CENTCOM list remain active even now.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
In the U.S., busloads of migrants were dropped over Christmas weekend near Vice President Kamala Harris's residence in Washington amid freezing temperatures, having traveled from the southwest border in Texas, immigrant aid groups said on Sunday, 25th of December. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Thank you. The website bdnews24.com has covered this story and tells us more. Texas has bused thousands of migrants to Washington, New York City, and Chicago in what some critics have labeled a stunt amid a national debate over the high levels of immigrant arrivals. Busloads of migrants were dropped over Christmas weekend near Vice President Kamala Harris's residence in Washington amid freezing temperatures. Having traveled from the southwest border in Texas, immigrant aid groups confirmed on Sunday, 25th of December. Approximately 110 to 130 of the migrants seeking asylum in the United States, many of them families with children, were placed on buses by Texas officials, said Tatiana Laborde, managing director of SAMU First Response, a relief agency working with the city of Washington, D.C. Tatiana Laborde said by phone that aid groups had been informed of their journey and awaited their arrival late on Saturday to hand out blankets and then transport them to a church in the city's Capitol Hill neighborhood. Aid to Texas Governor Greg Abbott were not available to comment on whether the state coordinated their transportation. The Republican governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, a vocal critic of the Biden administration's immigration policies, and some other Republican governors have been transporting migrants to democratically controlled cities in the northern United States. Texas has bused thousands of migrants to Washington, D.C., to New York City, and to Chicago, Illinois, in what critics have labeled a stunt amid a national debate over the high level of immigrant arrivals along the U.S. southern border with Mexico. Tatiana Laborde said that in the past week, 9 busloads of migrants have been dropped off in Washington. Lately, what we've been seeing is an increase in people from Ecuador and Colombia, Laborde said. Previously, many Venezuelans had been arriving by bus, she added. Many of the most recent arrivals, Tatiana Laborde said, are now attempting to go to New York or onward to New Jersey, where they have relatives or other community support. The British newspaper The Guardian has also covered the same story. 3 busloads of migrants were dropped off outside the Washington, D.C. home of U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris late on Christmas Eve, the latest episode in an escalating battle between the Joe Biden White House and the governors of southern Republican states over federal immigration policy. The Central and South American migrants believed to be sent from Texas were dropped off in below-freezing temperatures, with some wearing only sweatshirts and shorts. Texas's far-right governor, Greg Abbott, has previously sent buses to Harris's Naval Observatory home. An organizer with the Migrant Solidarity Mutual Aid Network, Amy Fisher, told local news station ABC7 that Greg Abbott orchestrated the drop-off as a political stunt. It really does show the cruelty behind Texas Governor Greg Abbott and his insistence on continuing to bus people here without care about people arriving late at night on Christmas Eve when the weather is so cold, Fisher said. The group took the travelers to the shelter of a local church where they were given warm food and clothes. Tatiana Laborde with SAMU First Response, an aid group that was also there to meet the buses, said similar drops have been made in Washington since April. Christmas Eve and freezing cold weather is no different, Laborde told CNN. We're always here welcoming folks with open arms. The arrivals were the latest salvo in an effort by Greg Abbott to force the Biden administration to step up immigration controls at the U.S. border with Mexico. Florida's Governor Ron DeSantis and Arizona's Governor Doug Ducey have also transported migrants to cities that are run by Democrats. You and your administration must stop the lie that the border is secure and instead immediately deploy federal assets to address the dire problems you have caused, Greg Abbott wrote in a letter to Joe Biden last week. Greg Abbott added, you must execute the duties that the U.S. Constitution mandates you perform and secure the southern border before more innocent lives are lost. On Friday, U.S. Customs and Border Protection reported that 233,740 migrants were apprehended at the southern border with Mexico in November, marking the highest number ever recorded for the month. The border agency reported that 204,000 unique encounters, 35%, were from Cuba and Nicaragua. In a statement released on Saturday, the Federal Homeland Security Department said it continues to fully enforce our immigration and public health laws at the border with Mexico. As temperatures remain dangerously low all along the border, no one should put their lives in the hands of smugglers or risk life and limb attempting to cross only to be returned. The Department of Homeland Security added, warning that anyone attempting to enter the United States without authorization is subject to expulsion under the policy known as Title 42. Last week, the U.S. Supreme Court temporarily suspended the expiration of the policy, empowering border officials to turn away asylum seekers on public health grounds. The Trump White House imposed it during the early phases of the COVID-19 pandemic. Days before Title 42 was due to expire, the border city of El Paso, Texas, declared a state of emergency after migrant numbers surged. If allowed to expire, Greg Abbott has warned that the number of people entering the United States illegally will only increase.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
A few strive in the cause of God, victory will definitely follow. The following is a part of the speech delivered on June 28, 2022, by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with the head of the judiciary branch and a number of top officials and employees of the judiciary. At one time, the enemy hoped for something. It hoped for a weakness or for a shortcoming in the system of the Islamic Republic, but they were frustrated in this. This has happened many times. However, the problem of the enemy is that they cannot understand the secret behind their being frustrated. They cannot understand why this happens. What is the reason that the Islamic Republic can get up again from beneath all these pressures, stand firmly and continue on its way? They do not understand this. They have not been able to understand that in this world, apart from political calculations and contingencies, there are other calculations and contingencies too. These are the divine traditions, which I will now describe in brief for you. These traditions are laws or rules.
دنیای اسلام یک
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
The Almighty God has put rules in the material world. He has rules and laws in the human world, and the sun runs unto a term appointed for it. This is the ordinance of the mighty, the knowing. And as for the moon, we have ordained for it stages. Quran chapter 36, verses 38 to 39. These are all laws. Neither is it allowable to the sun that it should overtake the moon. This is the same chapter, verse 40. These are current laws, and they are in front of our eyes. The law of gravity is a law that is in front of our eyes, and everyone understands it. But there are also laws that not everyone can understand. The whole Quran is truly filled with verses about these laws. For example, it says, Allah is with those who guard against evil. Chapter 2, verse 194. And whoever strives hard, he strives only for his own soul. Chapter 29, verse 6. And there are other such verses, which I will now discuss, that are laws too. And who is truer of word than Allah? Chapter 4, verse 122. God says that this is a law.
Allah, I want to thank you. That you've done for me through all my years I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done.
This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio. With you every single moment.
In the limelight.
The sprawling winter storm brought damaging winds and frigid temperatures to the U.S. recently, downing trees and power lines and bringing life-threatening conditions to many areas across the U.S. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. Guardian wrote, power outages leave more than 1.4 million homes and businesses in the dark, while thousands of U.S. flights were canceled. The winter storm that forecasters dubbed Elliott intensified into a bomb cyclone near the Great Lakes recently,
bringing high winds and blizzard conditions from the northern plains to western and upstate New York, along with life-threatening flooding, flash freezing, and travel chaos as it went. Airline cancellations topped 5,700 flights, with tens of thousands of holiday travelers grounded in airports with limited expectations of making further progress. Travel on the roads was disrupted due to snowing weather or crashes, and authorities in parts of Indiana, Michigan, New York, and Ohio urged motorists to avoid non-essential travel. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg told CNN the U.S. aviation system is operating under enormous strain. About 10% of U.S. flights were canceled, he said. The storm, estimated to be 2,000 miles wide, has produced driving snow and plummeting temperatures, knocking out power from Texas to Maine. Officials ordered cars off the roads as U.S. forecasters warned of potentially crippling impacts across central and eastern parts of the U.S. The arrival of the Arctic blast produced widespread disruption to utilities, with more than 1.5 million households estimated to be without power. At the White House, after Joe Biden was briefed on Elliott, the president said, "This is not like a snow day when you were a kid. This is as serious stuff." About 200 million people in 48 states were under extreme weather alerts, said forecaster Bob Ovarek of the National Weather Service NWS. An advisory warned that the powerful cold front would engulf the eastern U.S., with widespread dangerous cold expected to continue across much of the eastern two-thirds of the U.S. into the holiday weekend. Rapid temperature drops, sometimes 50 or more degrees colder than the previous day, Ovarek told the Associated Press, adding, "It's pretty powerful system." The precipitous drop in temperatures was accompanied by high winds. A 79 mph gust was recorded in downtown Buffalo, New York, where snowfall produced a rare zero visibility observation at the airport. There are some people in Buffalo saying this is one of the worst storms they have ever seen, said the city's mayor, Byron W. Brown, adding Buffalo is used to dealing with normal snowfall. We are dealing with it fine, but certainly it is a very challenging storm. In Ohio, what was described as a mass casualty incident was declared on Interstate 75 after more than 100 vehicles piled up in the conditions. The police department in Memphis, Tennessee, said a man found on Union Avenue had died from exposure to the frosty weather. Forecasters have said the scale of the weather pattern was nearly unprecedented in its scope, exposing than 200 million people, about 60% of the U.S. population, to some sort of winter advisory or warning. The Weather Service's map depicts one of the greatest extents of winter weather warnings and advisories ever, forecasters said. Tens of thousands of homes have been left without power, and governors in at least 13 states have drawn up emergency response plans, including National Guard deployments, for the holiday weekend, with heavy snow and ice creating treacherous road conditions and some drivers stranded. Temperatures in Colorado dipped to a record-breaking low of 9 degrees Fahrenheit from 42 degrees Fahrenheit, while Cheyenne, Wyoming, recorded its greatest one-hour temperature drop, plunging from 43 degrees Fahrenheit to 3 degrees Fahrenheit in the space of 30 minutes. The NWS set temperatures of minus 50 degrees Fahrenheit to minus 70 degrees Fahrenheit were possible over the weekend in some parts of the U.S., warning that even in big metropolitan areas such as Des Moines, Iowa, frostbite could become a significant danger. Ahead of one of the busiest travel periods of the year, the American Automobile Association, AAA, said more than 112 million people plan to travel 50 miles or more than home between 23 December and January 2nd. Even though fleets of snowplows and stalled trucks have been deployed across the U.S., driving was extremely dangerous and even deadly. Kansas City Police spokesperson Donna Drake said a minivan driver died after losing control on icy streets and overturning into a creek. In Kentucky, three people died on the roads, Governor Andy Beshear announced recently. Beshear added that the state's National Guard was delivering blankets to the Kentucky State Police to distribute to stranded drivers on Interstate 71 and escorting some to shelters. New York's Governor Kathy Hochul declared an emergency, saying the threat of flooding and ice jams blocking rivers would wreak a lot of havoc in the community. The Ohio Governor Mike DeWine called it a unique and dangerous situation in the U.S. In Georgia, where temperatures in the north were forecast to hit minus 12 degrees Celsius with sub-zero wind chills, the Governor Brian Kemp said the state was expecting weather they haven't seen in a decade or more. More than half of the so-called lower 48 states, from Washington State to Florida, are under winter weather alerts, including wind chill advisories affecting about 135 million people, said Ashton Robinson Cook of the Weather Service Prediction Center. The NWS has described the storm as a once-in-a-generation weather event, saying more than 100 daily cold temperature records could be quelled or broken over the coming days. Florida is projected to experience its coldest Christmas in 30 years. Meanwhile, Axios reported the extreme winter storm and Arctic outbreak hammering south of North America have left many parts of the U.S. facing frigid temperatures and travel nightmares. Much of the U.S. woke up on Christmas Eve to cold temperatures, power outages, travel delays, and dangerous, even deadly weather conditions because of lack of infrastructure. The winter storm that swept through the U.S. late this week is now mostly affecting the northern Midwest and Northeast as it rages into Canada. At least 15 people have died from the massive storm, according to CNN. The city of Buffalo, New York, is in the midst of a historic blizzard, which has brought record-breaking snowfall and zero visibility. Thousands are without power, and many vehicles were stranded in the snow. Enhancement from ice-free Great Lakes will aid in producing 2 to 4 feet total in favored snow belts, the National Weather Service said in a bulletin recently. In some spots, the wind gust could approach or exceed 60 mph, resulting in damage and power outages, the NWS added.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Poreza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Olemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with reporters.
Brits are still reeling from the impact of 2022. It's hard to recall a political year that's seen the country lurch from one crisis to the next, all bookended, it seems.